Well, welcome back, my friends, and thank you for joining us here at Gainesville Bible Church once again on this Lord's Day as we continue our study of God's Word concerning the life and times of Jesus Messiah. I know that we've been at this for a couple of months now, and we haven't even reached the first advent or the birth of Jesus yet, but if God, through His Spirit and human authors, has deemed it necessary to provide a great deal of preliminary information that sets the stage for the entrance of this God-man into the realm of humanity, well, maybe we would benefit from understanding this introductory information. Now, I promise we'll get to the birth, life, and ministry of Jesus Messiah in time, but today we will join that happy celebration in a small town outside of Jerusalem, where that priestly couple are celebrating the birth of a different child, John the Baptist, the one who will prepare the way for the coming Messiah. So let's join the birthday party with Zacharias, Elizabeth, and their friends and relatives as we all celebrate the birth of John the Baptist. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we'll begin today in verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to the father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all of those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. Let's jump back to verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. There's not a lot of information here. We will have a great deal of information concerning the birth of Jesus, but John was not Messiah. His birth was not the focus of his ministry. John was instrumental to God's program. He was to prepare the way for Messiah. But Scripture's clear. The main actor on this stage is Jesus. And all information concerning John is given to support the incarnation and ministry of Jesus, Messiah. In verse 58, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. This was a great occasion of joy for John's parents. The neighbors, the relatives, all came over to celebrate with Zach and Elizabeth. And what was the reason for this celebration? What was the word used? Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had displayed His great mercy toward her. Now, I hate to be redundant, but we need to remember exactly what they were celebrating. God's great what? Mercy. We often use grace and mercy interchangeably. Now, they're related, but they're different terms and different concepts. Grace is God's unmerited favor, giving what is not deserved. Mercy, on the other hand, is the alleviation of punishment or judgment. It's not giving what is deserved. See, God displayed His great mercy by removing her barrenness. You see, there was much to commend Elizabeth. She was referred to as a righteous woman. Yet without God's great mercy, we're all sinners. We all fall short of His standard. And by virtue of our sin, our missing the mark of God's holy standard, we all deserve punishment, alienation from Him and His perfect holiness. Elizabeth was as great a woman as she was. She didn't deserve children. That's where we get in trouble, thinking that because we're good, we deserve God's favor. As sinners, all we deserve is damnation. But because of His great mercy, God intervenes in this broken world and demonstrates mercy, removes the effects of sin, the damage of the curse, alleviates the condition of affliction. Now that, my friends, is cause for celebration. We often celebrate the results or the outcomes of his demonstrated mercy. Perhaps we should learn from Elizabeth and celebrate the mercy giver. In verse 59, and it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. You see, naming a child after a close relative, that was the custom in Jewish tradition, especially a male child after his father. And the crowd expected the baby to carry the name of his father, Zacharias. As a matter of fact, the Greek verb here carries the idea of somebody wanting something, desiring something. They were wanting to call him Zacharias. But God has already named this boy. Verse 60, but his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. Now, we don't know how Zach had communicated, you know, his angelic encounter to his wife, but she was carrying the torch. Elizabeth's response to everyone's natural suggestion was not just no, but an absolute no. No, indeed, absolutely not. Elizabeth trusted God's message to her husband in the face of societal norms and familial influence. This is a special child, a special gift from God, and he will have a special purpose in God's program. And Elizabeth will not falter in her obedience and her participation in this wonderful revelation from God. Now, I'm sure Zach and Elizabeth have pondered this miraculous event for the last 9 months. And although Zach wavered in his faith initially, he's learned his lesson. And Elizabeth doesn't hesitate here. She's excited and grateful to be included in God's plan. And part of God's revealed plan was that this baby would be named John. Verse 61, and they said to her, there's no one among your relatives who is called by that name. They said, John, there's nobody in your family named John. Verse 62, and they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. So Elizabeth claims him so absurd to them that they reached out for a second opinion. Now, apparently Zacharias was both mute and deaf, unable to both hear and speak, since they had to communicate with him through sign language and gestures. They think, well, maybe since he can't hear or speak, maybe he wasn't aware of Elizabeth's decision. Surely he would disapprove of Elizabeth's choice, but he didn't know what she's doing, and he's unable to speak, to protest. So they look to him as father to overturn her decision. But here, Zach demonstrates his faith by his choice. Verse 63, and he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, his name is John. And they were all astonished. You see, this was indeed, as we said before, a special child. And he would have a special name, a name given by God. And notice where Elizabeth had used the future tense, he will be called. Zach uses the present tense, he is called John. You see, for Zacharias, the child had a name from the time of the angel's announcement. And for both Zach and Elizabeth, any other name is simply not an option. They were unified in their devotion to God. The scripture says, and the crowds, and they were all astonished. Why were they astonished? Was it because the choice of John was so unusual? Was it because Zach agreed with Elizabeth without understanding what she had just proposed? Were they astonished because of the adamancy of both parents? They were so resolute in their decision? Well, I'm sure the amazement was triggered by all of the above. The friends and the relatives were amazed at the insistence of this unusual name. But I think what's significant here is that Zacharias learned from his period of silence. The sign of silence worked. Even as a righteous man, Zach learned to trust God's word even more. Verse 64, and at once his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Interestingly, Zach didn't gain his speech until after he gives the appointed name. God rewarded Zach's obedience by removing his temporary disability. Here we have more of God's mercy. And at once his mouth was open. This "and at once" is a phrase often used in Scripture to indicate a miraculous work. It's instantaneous. And Zach's response to this miraculous work of God was thanksgiving, praise. Verse 65, fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. Fear, awe, amazement gripped all those who witnessed this supernatural series of events. Now, no doubt they had all heard of Zach's heavenly visitation, and they had observed his subsequent deaf-mute condition. And now the punishment had been lifted, and he attributed praise and glory to God. God, who had demonstrated his divine mercy to Zacharias and his wife through the gift of a son, a special son destined to be great in the program of God. Verse 66, all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. So the buzz around the hill country of Judea was that this old priestly couple had been extraordinarily blessed by God by giving birth to a son in their old age. And Zacharias, once rendered speechless, has been restored. But the buzz, the gossip of the community, centered around something else, something more intriguing than God's blessing upon Zacharias and Elizabeth. The focus of their amazement, the heart of the gossip is exposed in this question: what then will this child turn out to be? Well, it had to do with the subject at hand. His name. Why was the naming of the child so important? Why was it so emotional? And why was the naming of this child John, why was that such a bone of contention? Well, you have to go back in time. In their society, the naming of the son after his father implied that this child would walk in the steps of his father. They would carry on the father's name. He would follow in his father's footsteps, continue in the work of his father, the family business. If John had been named Little Zach, he would have been expected to grow up as a priest, just like his father. He would have followed his father around as he carried out his priestly duties, learning how to do things just like his daddy did them. But to be named by any other name would have implied just the opposite. John would not follow in his father's steps. He would not learn to do what his father did. He would not be a priest. And this, of course, was precisely the intention of God. God had another role, another job for this boy. And this was God's reason for the name John. For the relatives gathered at the circumcision ceremony, Elizabeth's insistence that the boy be named John meant that he would renounce the family, its work, its perpetuation through the next generation. And Zacharias' adamant agreement reinforced this unusual notion. Well, unusual or not, Zacharias and Elizabeth believed God's word, and they couldn't not follow his instruction. One of the major lessons of this passage is that even if all his neighbors don't understand why Zacharias doesn't do the things the way they've always been done, he will walk where God tells him to walk. He will trust God and follow his leading, even if all those around him try to persuade him not to. Someone once said, "How do we define life? Is it in power and the ability to take control? Or is it in following the one who is in control?" Oh, and by the way, do you know what this most important name means? This name that God appointed, this name the angel was so specific to communicate, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were so adamant to pronounce? Would it surprise you to know that John means God is gracious? Now, we talked earlier about the mercy of God, not giving punishment that is deserved. Now we see God's grace, giving what is not deserved being proclaimed in the person and ministry of John. See, John, God is gracious, would reveal God's grace poured out for all of humanity as he pointed to Jesus, God's perfect gift. The long-awaited Messiah would be made known through his herald, John. And this Messiah, announced by John, would demonstrate God's mercy by saving his people from their sins. And he would demonstrate God's grace by providing eternal life to all who would place their faith and trust in Jesus as Lord, Son of the living God, Savior of the world. I can see we're out of time again. My parting question for you this morning is, are you as resolute in your commitment to obey and follow the instruction of God as Zacharias and Elizabeth were? Because of his great mercy, through the gift of his grace? My prayer for you this morning is that you would know him, surrender to his control, follow his direction, and trust in his grace and mercy without hesitation. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.